Ah, the name is Bootsy, baby. Radio Free Galaxy. You know that funk's for me. By the power of the one, we be funkin' for fun, baby.
Radio Free Galaxy listeners, we're Bellhead from Chicago, and we would like to invite you to a special all-ages event Saturday, April 6th at X-Ray Arcade, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Please join us for Thrashnetic, the Josh Russo Memorial Benefit for Mental Health Awareness and Suicide Prevention, featuring Go Fight, Hate Department, Cyanotic, Clack, Bellhead, AM Psych, and more. This benefit is in partnership with Prevent Suicide Wisconsin.
Tickets are available now at the X-Ray Arcade website. We look forward to seeing you all there.
Welcome to Radio Free Galaxy. I'm Travis Lee.
I'm Teen Komar.
I'm here all the time.
Dan?
Oh, I thought it was Steve.
Nope, it's you.
It's your boy, Dan, screwing up per usual.
It's okay.
We love you.
And then very infrequent person, Steve.
Oh, hey, the gang's all here. Welcome to Radio Free Galaxy, like I just said. Sorry about that little complication there. We had some returning guests that hadn't been on in a while, and right before we started, I was like, hey, this is the order. Let's go. Bye.
Bye. Remember it? No? Okay, we're going now.
Nah. It's essentially my fault, but that's okay. Thank you to Dan, Shane, and Steve Billick for joining us once again, and we're going to be doing our Dune 2 review tonight. Much anticipated movie. I think everyone on the podcast, when we reviewed the first one of the new trilogy, enjoyed it quite a bit. But it's been a couple years. This is a whole new thing. And so you'll find out what we think of this new installment of Dune in just a few minutes. But I just want to encourage everybody to please follow us on social media. The most important place is to subscribe to Radio Free Galaxy on Spotify. Christine's doing a little dance trying to distract me, and it's working. It's totally working. Please subscribe to Radio Free Galaxy on Spotify. You will be notified through a push notification whenever I publish an episode, which is 1 to 2 times a week, depending on my level of motivation, at 7 o'clock in the morning. And also subscribe to the Radio Free Galaxy YouTube channel. You will get notified of my push notification 2 to 3 times every morning when I put out new videos on YouTube, but you will also be entertained by the great commercials and the great nostalgic memories that I bring back to life through the Radio Free Galaxy YouTube channel, where there are over 1,800 videos for you to enjoy.
Woo!
Yeah. Ooh, ow.
That's a lot of good stuff right there.
Oh, yeah.
And please go to TeePublic and search for Radio Free Galaxy, and you will be able to purchase a t-shirt with us on it that Christine designed.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's super awesome. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. So I wanted to get through that fast because this is a huge movie. It's a long movie. We got a lot of opinions. I'm sure they're going to be wildly varying opinions, and there's going to be lots of discussion and maybe arguments and hopefully some laughs, but we're going to get into it. Dune 2. It's the second installment from Denis Villeneuve. However you want to pronounce it, as long as you're referring to the correct person, that's okay with me. I prefer to say Villeneuve. I've heard him say Villeneuve, so it's fine. He's an auteur, though. He's a great filmmaker. Whatever you thought of this movie, I think everyone can agree that he is a great filmmaker. We'll get into our thoughts on the movie, though. So let's go to our returning guests. We haven't heard from you guys in a long time. I'm sorry about that. We've just been doing a range of different shows, and I texted these guys at the last minute, just about an hour ago, and I'm like, hey, you guys doing anything on a Sunday night? Want to come on, jump on, and do a review? And Steve and Dan stepped up to the plate, and they were like, heck yeah, we do.
Did you put out the bat signal?
I did. I put out the Radio Free Galaxy signal, and they saw it. Steve from across the city and Dan from across the country saw it. Apparently, it shines bright.
It's so bright.
So Dan, since you're coming from the farthest away, let's get your general thoughts on... first of all, maybe if we could get your general thoughts on the first movie, what you thought of it, and then this installment.
I feel like the pacing of the first movie was very constant, whereas the second movie, I feel like they weren't as dutiful to the storytelling pace from the book, because, and this was one of the things that I was explaining to the group that I went with, it's that the war on Arrakis took like 5 years.
Yeah.
And they trimmed it up to what, a couple of months?
Yeah.
Because his sister's not even born at the end.
Right. Which is another huge difference from the book and the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I personally liked, PS spoiler alert. I liked that she was the one that killed Baron Harkonnen.
Yes.
I liked that she was the one that got to reveal the familial connection therein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grandfather, she says grandfather, and then, you know, she stabs him. And then it leads to what happens in Dune Messiah when she becomes like a knife fighter, whatever, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And it's
yeah, kinda... I mean, she was raised in the Fremen tradition.
Right.
From
right,
birth.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a weird departure from the book and the first movie that I don't know. I mean, I'll get into my opinion later, but that is a huge departure. You're either going to like that she wasn't born and how they depicted her in this movie, you're either going to like it or you're not going to like it.
I feel like the reason that they had Paul do it is, well, first off, they don't even get into Candley, which is a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. That would take a whole long time. Basically, it's the feudal revenge system in that universe.
Yeah, right.
But it legitimized Paul seeking vengeance for his father.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like they wanted to tie that up with a nice bow instead of having his sister do the deed while he's leading the forces on the attack towards the Emperor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different. So overall, what are your thoughts in this movie? Are you positive about it?
I mean, oh, absolutely. I thought it was very well put together. I like that they actually got into an explanation of why it was so important that they had the Atreides nuclear arsenal. Mm-hmm. That was I thought that was fun because they really have never done that in the movies before. Mm-hmm. They leaned into it a little bit in the sci-fi miniseries, but again, it wasn't as critical as they made it in this movie.
Yeah.
Because that was what swung of power.
It came out of nowhere, though. It did swing the balance of power, but it came out of nowhere, having never mentioned it before. And then all of a sudden, you just kind of bring it into the storyline as like this little MacGuffin that just solves the problem that you're having. And I think it's a little too convenient, and it doesn't serve the story very well, you know?
That's fair.
That's the way I felt about it. It just, you know, if there were hints of it before and that we just couldn't get to it, you know, that would be one thing. But they just kind of brought it up out of nowhere, and then this too easily solves the predicament that they're in. And I just didn't... It takes the power out of the hands of the characters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of the whole idea of this, you know, that it takes the kind of power out of the of what Paul is and what his sister is and what the Fremen are, and puts it into the hands of this MacGuffin thing that just solves their problem for him and makes them less mystical and less of a messiah. If the bombs are the messiah, really, that solve the problem for you, then Paul isn't that big of a deal, except that they need him to get into there. You know?
Right. I also liked that they changed the imperial succession.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like the direction that they're taking is that it doesn't matter about Arrakis, because part of the prophecy is that he is supposed to bring new life to Arrakis, a genesis, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see them doing that, because it feels like that's what Paul is going to use to fuel the upcoming jihad.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it sounds like you enjoyed it, but there were definitely some story points that you have issues with. Steve,
yeah.
what are your thoughts on the whole deal, man?
So, the first movie I really loved.
Yeah.
I enjoyed how closely it stuck with the story.
Mm-hmm.
And the bits and pieces that they added in for flavor I thought were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only weak point of the first one was Jason Momoa's acting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I love Jason Momoa, or maybe it's more I have a man crush on him.
Yeah.
But he just acts like Jason Momoa being a bouncer in pretty much everything he does.
Yeah.
When he showed up, you know, in the hangar and greets Paul, his cadence and vocalization pulled me out of the setup.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, it's just a bro down at Brady Street.
I know.
Like, oh my God, Jason, what the hell are you doing?
I know.
But no, I loved it. I really enjoyed the second one.
Yeah.
But I'll give a caveat for pretty much anything I say to kind of cover my ass for things I get wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's been maybe about 12 years since the last time I read the series.
Yeah.
To kind of touch on, you know, what you guys were talking about with showing the intricate details of the struggle.
Yeah.
That was very hand-waved in the books. He didn't focus on the explicit details of the war itself or the resistance. So I enjoyed the idea of them, not necessarily enjoyed, but I understood, or I accepted the increased focus on guerrilla operations as being, making the film more, the story more appealing to a general audience, instead of just having people talk about, you know, the things that are going on.
Right.
I of course was looking for Aaliyah, or not Aaliyah, oh my God, what is her name?
Alia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her to kill the Baron.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it after they did the thing, and I'm like, oh, well, this timeline is really short.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem like a negative thing. It started to make me rethink that the timeline of the way the events happened at the end of the first book was too prolonged. Because it was like, what, 6.5 years? How old was she when she killed the Baron? Was she 5 or 6?
I think she was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, she was really young. But I mean, she is accelerated, you know. So
No. Of course. Yeah. But so you're gonna tell me that the Fremen are just gonna wallow around that entire time?
Yeah.
Like struggling?
Yeah.
When the second part reinterpreted the speed of which this conflict comes to a head, it made me think that the way that Herbert wrote it was too slow.
Yeah.
So I appreciated it for that, giving me a different perspective. But I did miss her, you know, approaching grandfather.
Right. No, that's
wait for my brother, Baron.
Yeah. But as we were leaving the theater, I'm like, I kind of want to go home and just watch that scene again because it is terrible but really enjoyable at the same time.
Really good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here, let me hop in for a second, sure. If I may.
Sure.
The reason I feel like it was hand-waved is because, again, they were jumping years in advance, and because of the constant harrying that Paul and the Fremen were doing, it had brought the entire galaxy to its knees because spice production was slowed to less than a crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that the entire galaxy turned towards Arrakis was because the Emperor made it dirt cheap for even the smallest of houses within the Choam to be able to come and witness him take down this terrorist Mordib.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. No, I have so many thoughts on that, but Adam, how do you feel about this movie, buddy? I'm absolutely up in there. I have no idea how you feel about this movie. We haven't talked about it at all. We saw it separately, and I am really curious to find out what you thought of this.
I really enjoyed it. There's so much of it from the first one and this one that's divergent from the original book, which I didn't read Dune Messiah or any of the other Dune material. I only read the original book, and it's, for me, been, I don't know, rough estimate, at least 25 years since I've read Dune.
Probably about that long for me, too.
Right, and like, while it really doesn't matter that it's been that long, there were significant differences between the original movie and the book, and then there's significant differences between all three in comparison. I'm kind of with Steve about Jason Momoa. Like, I was pleasantly surprised and like optimistic about his casting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because I already knew he was gonna die, it was kind of like, well, hope he goes out well, and he did. Yeah. But yeah, he's kind of like, yeah, here he is. He's the, you know, House Atreides bouncer, and I guess pilot, and goes and hangs out with the Fremen guy,
and just general badass,
family. You know,
Adam, what's up? He's actually the primary character in the entire 6-book series.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I know. Like, I've heard about like things in the other one, like of the other ones. So, I am not on board with the hype about Zendaya, because I just don't get, whatever, fuck her. She's not cool enough to be like Prince and only have one name. Sorry, she's just not.
I disagree.
Wow. You
know, this is America. It's love for you to be wrong.
Yeah,
okay. they could have picked worse actresses. I do like the writing for Chani. Because it brought a lot more to that character in general. One of the major things I really do appreciate that it totally breaks with the book and the original movie is there's no weirding way. There's no weirding modules.
Yes.
There's not some weird freaky sonic weapon from the first movie, and it's not some weird Bene Gesserit close combat art of war technique from the books. Like, it's significantly different. I do like that they kept the voice for what it was. I think it's really interesting that Lady Jessica was having conversations with her unborn daughter.
Yeah.
That was a cool influence to still have the character in there without having the character be there like, hey, Grandpa, let me stick you with this finger thimble needle thingy and kill you. Ha, ha, ha. Like, that part was pretty cool. The guerrilla warfare pacing, I don't know. I think it was cool to see it, but...
last too long? Did it go on too long?
In terms of, well, I mean, at some point you have to give people who are going to go watch this who want to see in part an action movie when it's more of a sci-fi drama.
Yeah. Space opera.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Eh, I don't know. I thought the action sequences were great. They did a good job in both of them. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think how the worms were handled was really great.
Yep.
I don't know. I just kind of miss the, we've got worms signed the likes of which of God has never seen. Like, I don't know. That's classic original movie, and it was great.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do like that portrayal, though. Like,
yeah.
Because, Javier Bardem as Stilgar, at first I was kind of like, weird. But I do like the fact that it's like, yeah, he's a southerner. What? Yeah, they're all like religious fanatics. Like, that type of cultural difference was kind of cool because you didn't get that in the original movie.
And it's not in the books either.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, all around, again, they continued with great casting.
Yep.
I think Christopher Walken as the Emperor, that was really interesting.
Yep.
I was waiting for, like, serious Christopher Walken, like, pauses. Stellan Skarsgård as Baron Harkonnen, like, a lot of people don't like him. They've, like, seen here and there, and it's like, well, whatever. It's not the same character. And I didn't watch this, like, I don't know. I didn't watch it expecting the same... same things, you know, like it wasn't like a complete like retread, you know, mm-hmm. or like trying to recreate it. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, the wheel's already been created. Now we're going to improve it. It's like, well, here's a slightly different wheel. It performs a little differently. We like this one too. Like, I don't know.
Did you know that makeup took 8 hours to put on?
Yeah.
For who? Yeah.
For Stone Stars.
For Skarsgård.
Yeah.
It took 5 hours for, what's his fug? I'm looking at IMDb, I don't remember his name.
The original Baron Harkonnen?
No, I'm looking at Austin Butler. Yeah. His makeup took 5 hours.
That's because he didn't want to shave his eyebrows off.
Well, he was asked not to because he had another movie coming up to work on. So
it's understandable. But,
no right, pencil so, on eyebrows for him.
Right, so that makeup taking 5 hours and then Stellan Skarsgård taking 8. I mean, I find it believable. Fuck that. I mean, you'd have to pay me like equally stupid amounts of money to be into that.
I would do it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would do it, and I would take equally stupid amounts of money to them for Stellan Skarsgård.
Shave my eyebrows. I don't care.
I was really hopeful to see more Jameis, even though he got murked, but
we got a little, which is good. I gotta go to Christine. We haven't heard from Christine yet, so Christine, your thoughts. We haven't talked about it much. We saw it together last Tuesday. We talked about it a little bit, but what are your general thoughts on this movie? Like, didn't like?
Well, I didn't hate this movie. I liked it, but compared to the first movie we saw in theaters for your birthday and the original David Lynch, like this movie, it felt like a middle movie. And actually, Adam just reminded me what I was thinking about. It felt like a sword and sandal movie. Like I was watching Spartacus, where there was just too many marches and like, you know, wars going on. And they could have just cut that part out, which is kind of like a little montage. Like these movies are like, they're big, they're huge, they look good, but they spend so much time on the love story, which... I mean, like, I know you need to have that in there, but it just, I don't know. I felt like they could have gone and, like, you know, maybe done some more stuff with the weirding ways in this movie.
They exchanged the nuclear weapons for the atomic weapons for the weirding way.
Yeah, well, Gurney just showed up and was like, hey, I know of a thing that no one's ever heard about through the Atreides. It's like, well, this seems kind of like a big... you know, thing to know. So we just kind of jumped the shark with that. Like, no, I liked the weirding ways. I liked that interesting, like, mythos. And, like, also, there wasn't enough time travel, really, in this movie compared to, like, at least a...
Or space travel.
Or space travel, I mean. Like, there was no... Like, what's the spice for? Yes, it's for space travel, but they don't really focus on that much. And maybe they had that weird floating monster in the first David Lynch one, which was bizarre. But I kind of like that extra thing in Dune where it's kind of gross and weird, but it also just has that interesting, you know, sci-fi edge. And I feel like they just kind of stayed with, you know, the sword and sandal aspect of it.
Yeah. I'm okay. So my thoughts. I think it was proficiently made. I think Denis Villeneuve is a great filmmaker. I think it looked beautiful. I have nothing but great things to say about all the actors. I was actually very skeptical about Austin Butler. I didn't see his Elvis movie, but it looked kind of like Clown Shoes to me. So I just stayed away. And I don't know. He's just got this too pretty for me to like
face to him.
I don't want to say punchable face, but too pretty to like face for me. I was very skeptical about him, but I think he did a great job. I think all of the acting was good. I just didn't enjoy the movie. I liked it. I liked it. I would probably give it like a... out of 10, I would probably give it like a solid 6. But the first movie, I gave like an 11. You know what I mean? I loved the first movie so much. And I thought the pacing was great. And I thought the changes from the original movie and the changes and keeping it with the book. And I thought they just did a great job in that movie. And I was just so blown away. And I was so looking forward to this one. And the changes that were made in this movie, I thought, didn't serve the story. I thought it took away from the space opera mystical nature of what makes Dune so great and so different than other sci-fi adventures. And not focusing on why the spice is so important and why Arrakis is so important is a huge miss in this movie. And it's really more about the people and the Fremen and... I mean, this is all about the spice. Why is the spice so important? To the casual fan who I don't think this movie was made for, it was, parts of it were acquiesced. Decisions were made, I believe, to acquiesce to the newer fan, but this movie still isn't for the casual fan at all. Especially with the length and everything and the way they don't explain things pretty much at all to the audience. So if you're not a fan and if you haven't seen the first movie, you're not going to enjoy this movie at all. I mean, you can think that it's pretty. You can think that it's pretty and you can think that acting performances are good. But this is not a complete movie that you can watch in a vacuum and enjoy in any conventional manner. I mean, like... I just don't see it, you know, that you could flip this on when you're flipping through streaming services, put this on without having known anything about Dune and enjoy it. You will turn it off after a while and just not get it. I think there were so many missed opportunities and the changes that were made, I just didn't think made it for a better movie. I think the nuclear arsenal, the atomic arsenal thrown in, replacing the Weirding Way, makes for a lesser movie, makes for a lesser Dune. It's a little too convenient. It's never mentioned previously in the 5 hours of movie we had been watching before that happened. It had never been mentioned. And I know it's from the books and it's honest and everything, but I mean, and would you need to spend a little more time on the Weirding Way to make that a thing instead? Yeah, but then you could just spend less time on the relationship between Paul and Chani, which would be totally fine. Mm-hmm. There was way too much time spent on that in this movie. I mean, Trisha was sitting next to me, and she was just sighing so loud through those scenes, and it was annoying me, but at the same time, I was totally agreeing with her. Mm-hmm. Too much time was spent on that, where I'm thinking in my mind, if this follows the books and the resulting relationship happens where the marriage of political that happens at the end where he marries, you know, decides to marry the Emperor's daughter instead of Chani. I mean, if they're going to do that, if you know that as a Dune fan, then like spending this much time on the relationship just doesn't make any sense. And then you cut out the fact that they did have a first baby together that, you know, is supposed to die. I just didn't care for the changes. I gotta say though, Javier Bardem is the absolute highlight of this movie. He is the tone that I want from the Fremen. He has a little bit of humor to him, but at the same time, it's not ridiculous. It's not silly. He just, you know, has that kind of nature. He's a man that's full of faith and belief. and in touch with the spiritual nature of this planet and his people and the universe and everything. And he's able to have a lightness about him and joke about things that are deadly serious. And that's cool. And I think he got the tone mm-hmm. of what this is supposed to be. Other things, I thought one of the major things I had problems with, I thought the Harkonnens were totally neutered in this movie. The way that the beast Raban is treated in this movie, he's completely neutered. He fails at everything that he does, and we never get to see why he's such a monster in this movie. He needs to have some kind of victory at some point. And the fact that they're going with this accelerated timeline just forces them to neuter it. And every time you show the Harkonnens, and I know I have the memory sitting in my head of the first movie and how they focused on the Harkonnens and showed why they were so gross and disgusting and, you know, how they needed to be overthrown. In this movie, that really gets lost. They're just kind of a plot device to, we need to overthrow them. They're the bad guys. We need to overthrow them. But we're not going to show you exactly why they're so bad. And I know we did in the first movie, but we didn't show it enough in this movie to make it a complete movie. It just ends up being an episode, a next episode of the first movie, and you can't watch it alone. And I hate when movies do that. Even my favorite Star Wars movies and Star Trek movies and things like that. If you can't make a standalone movie, then make it a TV show. Because every movie that comes out in theaters should be a standalone movie, even if it is a continuation of another movie, in my opinion.
So you can't do that with this, though, because this was the back half of the first book. So there's no, right. I mean, you come into the situation where you're going to waste a half an hour getting everybody up to speed when...
I don't think you have to do that. I don't think you have to do that. Go ahead.
Think about another relation to the Lord of the Rings trilogies. Mm-hmm. Those literally just pick up where the last one left off. In the same way that Dune Part 2 picks up where Dune Part 1 left off, and it doesn't retread territory that has already been expanded upon in the previous movie.
True, absolutely true, and I agree. You got to pick up where it left off, but at the same time, you can have you don't have to give a whole new introduction to what we're doing, but you do need to have a solid beginning, first, second, and third act, beginning, middle, and end to the movie to make it a complete story arc. Like, what is the story we're telling? Are we telling Paul's story of revenge in this movie? Then it needs to have because that's what they're clearly doing with this movie, in my opinion. They're telling Paul's story of revenge when, in my opinion, it should have been a little more of that, of more of the ascension of the Fremen than really, I mean, I know Paul's the chosen one, but I think we focused on him and his ambitions a little too much in this movie, and everyone else got taken to the back. You know what I mean?
It's not their story, though.
It's not.
The Fremen are irrelevant to the story.
But they add the flavor, Steve. They add the flavor that, and in this, they're pure flavor. They're just pure flavor, and they're used almost as a political MacGuffin.
After the third book, the Fremen are no longer a thing that anybody talks about within the story of Dune.
Sure, and I mean,
the entire catalyst of Dune is the realization of the Kwisatz Haderach.
Yeah.
So, I guess first off, so I've read all six of the books a number of times.
Okay.
And I guess for people that have not read any of the books or only read the first one, there's a lot of information that doesn't exist in your understanding of the lore that can complicate the approach to the movie, mm-hmm. and how everything in book one and book two is set up for the rest of the story. Right. This is literally the prequel to the actual story.
Right. I don't know how much you want me to spoil. Well, I don't think you can take that approach when you're making movies, though, and just assume that we're going to be able to tell the rest of this story. You have to be able to take one movie and make the best movie that you can and not assume that we're ever, even if we've signed contracts, that we're never going to be able to make a third installment, a fourth installment, a TV show, any of that.
They're not going to. They're only going to do the next book.
Right.
And they could do the third book, But beyond that, it's literally unfilmable. The fourth book cannot be filmed in any manner that anybody's going to want to watch. It's literally a 500-page conversation between two people.
Yeah. Dan and Adam, what do you think about my points that were made about the spice not being an important aspect of this movie and also the neutering of the Harkonnens? I those parts just take me out of the world of Doom.
They do. So it's I mean, you kind of already identified the problem. Like, it's you kind of want to have a movie where you can have I don't know, you can have it start, you can have the middle, and you have the end. This can't stand alone on itself, just like Steve explained, because it's like Lord of the Rings. Like, hey, you got all three, they go right in a row. I think the release cadence of the two movies should have been closer. That would have been ideal.
Yes.
The glossing over of the importance of the spice, I don't know, there's this holes because, I mean, okay, having read the book, having watched the first movie, I didn't watch all that sci-fi Children of Dune stuff. I actually kind of like got bored watching it when you loaned it to me and then gave it back after months not watching it. but, like, I understand where Christine wants to see the weirding way, but it's like, okay, the problem is you're not going to get it in the second movie because it was introduced, it should have been introduced in the first movie before leaving, before leaving Caliban. So, like, you can't have it.
Right.
You could try, but then it becomes a Fremen thing, not a Bene Gesserit thing, not an Atreides, House Atreides technology or secret. With Gurney Halleck being like, by the way, we had a whole thing of nukes, and I know where we put them.
I hate that.
That's fine, but, like, again, you didn't have the weirding way, and you have to, like, you can't. Nobody's going to buy into a bunch of indigenous peoples riding around on indigenous fucking life forms as a threat to space travel at large. No one's going to buy into that. There's no legitimate threat.
Yeah.
So how do you threaten that? Well, you need a fucking recognizable for common day people methodology to do that. And unfortunately, that is fucking atomic weaponry.
Yeah.
And them only having a limited amount, like, there's no explanation as to why these powerful organizations only have this limited arsenal. Like, okay, you have the Atreides stockpile. How many nuclear weapons was it? 25?
92, 28? I believe. 92.
Oh, okay, so less than 100. Mm-hmm. By our standards, that many detonated strategically would render this planet uninhabitable.
Right.
The same thing should be relatively true for them. They don't have computers. They didn't go over that at all, which you don't really go over it anyway in the original movie, but it's there's so many structures and organizations that aren't touched upon, like the Navigator Guild with, like, the highly mutated, well, not really mutated, like, evolved navigators race, essentially, at that point, with the big, you know, looking part fucking sperm whale humanoid thingy in the mobile fish tank with the people mopping up behind it because apparently they can't build something that's, you know, watertight. Like, I get what you're saying, but it's like, at a certain point, it's like, Travis, I think you're a little bit too sophisticated of an individual than a lot of our friends are, and which isn't to say that the average moviegoer isn't, but you got to kind of cater to the lowest common denominator. That's kind of how entertainment works. You're entertaining the mob. You're not entertaining, you know, the first or the second tier citizens, you know. You got to make something where critics are gonna fucking suck your dick about it, and the masses are gonna buy tickets, and it's to get bodies in a movie theater and buying popcorn and buying soda. It's a fucking 2 hour and 46 minute long movie.
Yeah, I would like to think Denis Villeneuve is above that, like, kind of thing, though. He wants to make something that a lot of people are going to like, and of course is going to make money.
Fine, but unless he's financing it himself or finding somebody who has the money to finance it, you're not going to get that. The other, I mean, it's a sad reality, but that's just the way it goes, and there isn't much more to say about it. Like, I understand where you're coming from, and on a lot of points I agree. However, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, would I give it a 9 or a 10? Fuck no. I'm not going to give it a 9 or a 10. I really rather enjoyed the second movie. I thought it was a really good continuation of the first movie, which I thought was phenomenal, but sequels don't, and it's not necessarily a sequel, but like, the second movie doesn't usually tend to be all that great. The third is usually worse.
And that's why, you know, Empire is so great and things like that, because they were able to do something like that. Dan, you know, my biggest point to it all is, one of the reasons I love Dune so much is the weirdness of it. And when you're dealing with so many different, as fans of science fiction, of different science fiction properties, you fall in love with sometimes the weirdness of this canon, this story that you're telling, whatever it is, whether it's Star Wars and the Force and Yoda and whatever weirdness is in it, you kind of fall in love with those kind of things. And when they're taken away and you're telling this, it's still a really good movie and it's still told really well, but I'm missing so much of the weirdness that I loved from, whether it's the books or the original David Lynch film, that I love so much. That so much that is taken away, also the fun gets taken away. And I just didn't have a lot of fun in this movie. Did you? Did you have a lot of fun? You enjoyed it, but did you have a lot of fun?
There wasn't a whole lot of fun, but that's also because it felt like, again, the fracas on Arrakis, if you will.
Yes.
Yes.
It was supposed to take years. It was supposed to have brought the galactic economy to a grinding halt. Yeah. It was supposed to have brought the Empire as a whole to its knees.
Yeah.
And they just pushed it through in like 3 months. And again, I hear that there were a lot of missed explanations.
Yeah.
The fact that you don't understand how important the spice is, because they didn't get into what the Spacing Guild actually does.
Yeah.
Like the idea of folding space, because that's not a typical sci-fi trope.
Yeah.
So you miss that there is no FTL travel. There is no actual like shipping. It's just point to point. That's it.
The only weirdness left in the movie is just people in the desert riding big worms, you know,
and them trying to put the explanation of why the Kwisatz Haderach is not only so powerful, but why the Bene Gesserit was so desperate to control it.
Yeah, the Harkonnens aren't as weird as they need to be. The Fremen aren't as weird as they need to be. The weirding isn't there.
There's no weirding. So with the Fremen, I feel like they tried too hard to just lean on the fact that they as a people were just supposed to be comically evil. I mean, literally, they live on a planet with a black sun. You can't get much more of, these are the guys with the big black hats and the mustaches. They're the bad guys. But you don't get to see how bad they actually are.
No.
Outside of, like, Fade maybe killing a couple of slaves.
Yeah.
Of Raban carrying a whip, because that's the symbol of the oppressor. Sure, great. But show what they have done to these Fremen. Yeah. To make them as militant as they became. Not that they weren't already some tough customers, but they just became so polarized to the outside forces because they had just been abused as a people for so long for this naturally occurring, only on their planet, resource that is so important to everyone else, and they have no concept of that. They just know people come here to take the stuff. That's the thing. and they're mean to us, and they have hurt our people, so we're going to try and hurt them back.
I don't know. It's just the weirdness is gone, and I'm left with no fun, and I'm just all bummed out over here. I want to watch it again. I want to watch it again, and I also want to watch it back to back, and I'm sure I'll enjoy it all again. But the fun is lost for me, and I'm left wanting. And I agree with a lot of things that you say, Steve, about, you know, the reason for this and the reason for that. But at the end of the day, I didn't have as much fun as I should have had. And whether that's my own expectations and my own predilections to what I like about movies and science fiction and everything, that's fine. But I didn't have as much fun in the end.
I think part of the problem is that so much in Dune in general, you know, going with the books.
Yeah.
He doesn't, a lot of that stuff just isn't explained during the course of any of the novels.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much extra extraneous knowledge that a devoted Dune fan needs to acquire to, like, make things make sense.
Line up,
the Butlerian Jihad.
Yeah.
And the importance of the Orange Catholic Church.
But that said, Denis did take liberties of expanding upon things that weren't necessary, that were between the lines with the source material.
Yeah.
Where, to your credit, he could have maybe added a bit more of that, or shifted some of his attention to what he was going to fill in that isn't necessarily explicitly within the black and white pages of the original book, that would expand the uninitiated viewer's understanding of some of the importance of things that are happening.
Yeah.
Dune's a... There's a lot to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it.
I agree with a lot of, you know, this is the reason they did that. This is the reason, you know what I mean? I understand why the choices that they made. But, I mean, sometimes when you make some... Go ahead, Christine.
Dude, I think they should have just brought Sting back and just have, like, running around in his codpiece for, like, Fade's birthday.
Yes!
Just before the entire thing and just, like, you know, do a dance number. I think that would have
Daddy
probably...
Fade. Daddy Fade. Leather Daddy Fade.
I'm just
Leather
saying...
Leather Daddy Fade.
Nary a codpiece in that entire Harkonnen, you know...
I want
planet,
that,
and
though.
And that didn't happen, and I was
want
sad.
That.
I wanted that, so I'm
I
just
know.
Saying, bring Sting
Austin
back.
Austin Butler would look great like that.
Yeah.
And we did get some good stuff with him. He was really good. And
he was, like, good.
He surprised the heck out of me. Like I said, I loved... Let's just talk about some of the actors for a minute. I thought Timothy Chalamet, I like him in everything. I thought he was great. I love Zendaya. Her depiction of Chani in this, you know, it's different than the book because she doesn't believe in the prophecy and she splits with Paul. And in the book, she's more along his side, you know, no matter what happens, really.
And I did want to try and touch on that. The idea that Chani was just written as the dutiful wife.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because she believed in Paul. She also had her own vendetta, again, because they had a child. And when Siege Tavir was assaulted and destroyed, Leto II, their child, was killed.
Right.
So she had her own reasons to be all in on the jihad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it changes her motivation significantly. And, I mean, she's all for... you know, overthrowing the Harkonnens and everything and the Emperor, but it's just like not fighting so much against it. While I do understand where that character is coming from, the way that it's depicted, I don't think it makes for a better story, really. You know? I don't know. Any other thoughts? I don't know. I think she was great. Let's see. What were some other actors? Christopher Walken. I wanted more. He was like the Harkonnens. I wanted more of him. I thought he was great. It was a really interesting choice, but I think it works.
Dude, if he would have started busting out the Batman Returns, like, you know, that character, like he was, like, you know, doing for the Penguins campaign to run for mayor, like that would have been highly more interesting because he's he's an amazing character actor, and having him kind of just not as Christopher Walken-y as he usually is. Just kind of like, oh, he's here. He's here.
I wanted to hear him in that Walken voice. Was like, you see, I am the Padishah. Emperor.
I have all these sadakars. Can we do something here? You know, like
more cowbell.
Children, scorch closer.
Yeah.
To be fair, in the book, the emperor and his daughter barely have any appearance in the book.
Yeah.
They show up right at the end. That's pretty much about it.
Yeah.
His daughter plays a significantly more pivotal role in the next two books.
Wasn't she? No, they just made her the narrator in the David Lynch movie.
Yeah, correct. But she also, if I remember correctly, she also is kind of given that position in the book as well.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Right. Correct.
Yes.
Because she's the year 10-1-91.
Yep.
Yes. And she's putting it into her diary.
Right.
Correct. Yep.
Right.
So one thing, and like I said, I may be misremembering it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't actually in the book, the whole thing where the one Bene Gesserit seduced Fayed, that's a nod to a concept that doesn't show up till the fifth book.
Wow.
Where there is a branch of the Bene Gesserits who splinter off and go venture deep into space.
Mm-hmm.
And when they return generations later, they've evolved into a different sect of power that uses sex through to control and manipulate people.
Oh, okay.
They're called the... Oh, my God. I can't believe I forgot their name. The Honored Maters.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was a nod to that future story that we'll never see. Because they're just never going to film it. It'll never happen.
I mean, I understand that I would never say never. When money is involved, and a lot of money is involved, and this movie is making a ton of money, just like the first one is, nothing is ever out of the question.
Dune has always been notoriously unfilmable.
Yeah.
I said earlier, you really can't film the fourth or film it in a way that's going to be appealing to people.
Well, let's just see if some Hollywood producer says, hold my beer.
Hold my spice.
I mean, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
But Dune is my favorite science fiction franchise of existence. So okay. I would be the one there watching it.
Yeah, I'll watch it no matter what they put out. But Adam, do you have any final thoughts on this? We're really running long here. Do you got any final thoughts there, Adam, or are you sleeping?
No, I'm still here. I just muted my microphone just because reasons.
Yeah.
Scratchy throat and all that.
That's fine.
I really think they could have done better with the second movie.
Yeah.
There definitely was some missed opportunities, but if they are in fact making the second book, I almost kind of really hope it's all in one shot.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, I know there's a TV show planned, so... But I think it's focusing on the Bene Gesserits, so...
Speaking of the second book, I just want to see the stone burner.
I've never read the second book.
I'll have to give you back your Asimov book, Steve. Actually, I'll have to read it and then give it back because I've had it for like 2 years. Yeah. And then
so I want to see the. I want to see the face dancers.
Oh my God! Yes, the Talaxlu. Hell yeah!
Yeah.
But I'm thinking I probably have to like read like the rest of the material because I've only ever read the first book, even though I've always had access to multiple of the copies and different people's collections for the rest of the story. So,
All right, Christine, we're running really long. Christine, can we have your final thoughts and then you can get out of here?
It was okay. It was totally okay. I'm hoping the next one is better. And I don't know, maybe they'll come out with a Dune musical because I think the Spice Must Flow could be a great musical interlude. But everything in my head's better with the musical.
Everything's better with the musical episode, in my opinion. I 100% agree.
Like a fever dream or something, getting knocked off by a worm, and then it's just, you know, the Spice Must Flow.
That's how you make something that's a solid 8, 9, or 10 in drop it down to a 6 or a 7. Like, why? No. Why do you guys do that?
No, I disagree.
Before Christine leaves, we need there's a burning question that I know everyone has in the back of their minds.
Yes.
Are we not going to talk about the popcorn bucket?
Oh my God! Yes. Did you not see the popcorn bucket for Doom?
I did not,
dude. Okay, let me see if I can pull it up. Oh
my God!
It's something.
I heard it looks like a sex toy. That's all I heard.
Uh-huh. It's like it is a sex toy.
Oh, it is a sex toy. Oh my God!
Does it come with a hole pre-cut in the bottom so I can put my dick in there?
Oh no!
That's not how it works. That's
you
not
can get one on Etsy for $179.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
That should be sold by Adam and Eve.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Do they have it in pink?
Where somebody had an eBay posting and next to it they had a bottle of lube.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that.
Oh my
free,
God.
Free lube and shipping? I don't know. I'm not looking it up.
Yeah.
Oh my. Stop showing me those pictures. Okay. Those are.
Oh my God. The one has Bedazzle it.
Christine. Message me like I need to look at this on like a non-work device.
Yeah, I don't want that on my search history.
I will send you
Travis photos. Is getting all bricked up over here.
Oh, damn it.
it's in my search.
I'm surprised that some of you have not been aware of this. People have been talking about it since January.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
SNL did a skit making fun of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the last time I watched SNL, I lived in Pennsylvania.
I'm just saying. It's become part of popular consciousness.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just missed out. I saw the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire bucket, which is awesome. But I didn't see this one. Maybe intentionally because I just didn't.
Yeah,
want
that
it.
That's a who thought that was a good idea.
That's a good question.
It is.
I mean, there's been worse things that have made it through R&D. Let's
yeah.
True.
All right, Christine. Let's go to Dan. Dan, final thoughts on this film.
I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It literally says part two in the title. So if you don't come in with at least a base understanding of the first movie, of course you're going to be lost. That's the whole point. It is a continuation. It's not like it's a sequel or they're trying to tell a different story. It's just a continuation of the same story.
Yeah.
I feel like I you know what you brought a very valid point to me, and you're right. I didn't necessarily have fun, but I also have been invested in this series since I was a wee lad.
Yeah.
So I was actually giving notes to the people that were with me in the group because no one else had read the books, let alone seen the David Lynch or the sci-fi miniseries. And did I have fun? Yes, but that's just because I've got a lot of skin in the game here.
Yeah.
And I knew what was going on.
Right.
Whereas a casual observer doesn't understand how important the spice is and doesn't get how brutal the Harkonnen truly are. And the list rolls on. Was it a good movie? Yes. Was it visually appealing? Absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful.
But you're right. It falls short, unfortunately.
I think... Yes, those points, I still think you can make a middle chapter a more complete movie, as masterful of a filmmaker. And I love Denis Villeneuve. I deeply love all of his movies. And I just think you got to demand better. You got to demand better out of filmmakers, out of musicians, out of artists, when you know they're top tier. When you know they're top tier and they can make an 11 and they settle for a 7, it's not okay with me, especially when you're dealing with a franchise that's this powerful. And I know it's super hard to film, and I know it's so hard. I know it's so hard to tell the right story, and you got to make decisions for better or for worse to tell the best story that you can in the time that you're allowed. But I think you can do better to have just be more accommodating to the casual fan, to meet the expectations of the fanboys and girls, and and just make a more fun experience. I had fun going to the movies. It wasn't a disappointing experience. It just did not live up to my expectations. And when you come out of the gates so hard, like they did with that first movie, so good, so beautiful and perfect. I almost think that first movie is perfect, except for the Jason Momoa's silliness, which I actually do. I do love. I do love, actually, though. I don't know. I was just let down, and so I that's all I can say. I hope for more, and expectations, as we know about life, expectations are the seed of suffering. So, you know, you bring with it what you take home. So I know it's my fault because I went in with expectations, but you built me up for that with that first movie. You built me. It's your fault, really. So I'm going to blame my suffering on you because you made a great first film, and I'm expecting you to turn it up again for the second one. And I just was let down. Steve, what are your final thoughts, man?
I liked it overall. I think it was a good companion to the first one.
Yeah.
You know, in telling the story.
Yep.
Even though there were some significant alterations.
Yeah.
I do honestly felt they spent a little bit too much time getting into the weeds with the guerrilla warfare stuff. I mean, it was fun. Yeah. But it just seemed like it kind of distracted that first half of the movie too much. Mm-hmm. When he could have chosen to fill in between the lines and other things that you know, to your credit, would have made it more understandable from casual viewers' standpoint.
Yeah. Right.
Anything though, the cinematography was great, but because you know all of it is set on Dune, on Arrakis, you don't really have a varied color palette.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot. You know, it's not like it's Miller, Mad Max, in the way that he shot the last movie with the eye that he wanted to do it in black and white and how.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, but the sound design in this movie.
Yeah.
Superb. Better than I was partially even paying attention to it too, but oh my god, there were just moments where I'm like, Jesus, how did
gorgeous.
They do that?
Music was gorgeous.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I was, even though I'm sitting there and I'm having certain problems with it, and Trish is next to me sighing so loud that it's making me.
Oh my God, my oldest child was doing a thumbs down every time there were people kissing. I'm like,
that was Trisha next to me every time.
Between Chani and Paul is literally the catalyst for the next two stories.
Right.
Everything is because of that.
Right, I know. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I did have fun. I know I'm, you know, kind of shitting on it a little bit, but I'm just offering criticism. I'm offering my thoughts, what I really felt about it. I've had like almost a week to think about it, and I really sat and thought about what I enjoyed and what I didn't, and I just really wanted more weirdness is what it comes down to. I love Dune for its weirdness.
With the comparison to the first movie and how it moved you, I was blown away by the way that they expanded upon the attack by the Harkonnens to wipe out the Atreides.
Yeah.
And when you compare that amazing action sequence, particularly with where they're blowing up where their ships are parked, comparing that to the rush job that is the final confrontation with the Imperial forces, which the book is that way too, and so was the David Lynch movie, and it's been a long time since I watched the sci-fi miniseries, but I'm pretty sure that was truncated as well.
Yeah.
But that whole attack, that the breadth of that at the end of the first movie was not really in the book either. But oh my God, that was. That, I think that was the highlight of the entire two movies at this point.
Yeah, it's great. I think we all recommend that everyone's, even though we have qualms and quips and everything, I think we recommend that everyone should see it. And I definitely think you should see it in a theater if you have the opportunity, because it is gorgeous.
Absolutely.
Like Steve said, the sound design is beautiful. The music is beautiful. The actors are all beautiful. Everything's beautiful. It's gorgeous to look at, and it's gorgeous to listen to. And it is a good story. I'm not saying it's bad. I just disagree with some of the changes. None of it, I think, is bad. none of it is bad. I just would expect more. And that's, you know, sometimes what you have to do with criticism is just, you know, expect more out of great artists and great filmmakers. And these are great actors. These are great musicians, great sound designers, production designers. They're all great at their craft. And I just want to push them to do more. So that's what we should do. That's how we, you know, that's how we all evolve and get better at things. We got to push each other to do more in the kindest way possible. So, yeah, I liked it. I did like it. It is a good movie. I am going to watch it again. It's not like a Star Wars sequel situation or anything. But yeah, you know, it's all over the place. So let us know what you guys thought of it. Contact us on social media, on Instagram or Facebook, or just send us a private message and let us know what you thought of all this. Yeah, and thank you so much, Dan and Steve, for coming on. And Steve, you know, you are the artist that does our theme music to the show, mm-hmm. in the beginning and the end of the show. Where can people hear the rest of your music?
Oh, geez. probably the best place would be my YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube.com/ModusObscura. M-O-D-U-S. O-B-S-C-U-R-A. Can't remember how to spell it. Modus Obscura.
Modus Obscura on YouTube. I'm subscribed, mm-hmm. so I think everyone else should too. And thank you all for sticking with us for this review. Honestly, we could keep it going for the length of the movie, really. We could make it longer. There is a lot of things we didn't hit. There's a lot of actors we didn't hit. But I think we got to all the main points. And thank you all for sticking with us. And we'll see you next time on Radio Free Galaxy. Anybody want to say bye? Go ahead. We're still here.
Later. Again, thanks for having me. I love every opportunity I have to be on the podcast.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right. There, we could do an entire series on this because there were, but you're right. While it sounds like we're in part shitting on it, they did a lot of things right.
Mm-hmm. They did. It's a quality movie. We think everyone should see it. So we'll see you next time on Radio Free Galaxy. See you later.